If you were walking around Halifax, Nova Scotia on this day back in 1917, well, you'd be among the lucky ones. A massive explosion a few days earlier had rocked the city. It was catastrophic. Thousands were killed or injured, and many more made homeless when the huge explosion and fireball leveled the north end of the city. Blair Bead is local historian in Halifax. Blair, what would you have seen if you walked around in Halifax on this day in 1917?
It would have been a clear day. But there was piles of wreckage covered in snow. After the explosion, a severe snowstorm came and covered everything. So what was wreckage may have just looked like piles of snow. And you would have seen that the windows had all been boarded up because the windows shattered for miles around Halifax.
And this was just an unbelievable explosion. Would they have still been finding victims at this point, this day in 1917?
They would have still been looking for lost children, lost parents, and they didn't actually find the last body from the explosion till a year later when they were moving debris in an exhibition building.
What caused this explosion?
Well, there were two ships in the harbor coming towards each other, and communication signals with whistles, confusion, and they ended up one hitting the other. The one it hit was called the Mont Blanc, and the Mont Blanc was loaded with munitions for the war in France, and it burned for about 20 minutes, and the combination of munitions on board, it exploded, causing the largest man-made explosion in a populated area before the dropping of the atomic bomb.
And how far and wide was its impact?
60 miles away in Truro, Nova Scotia, church bells were set to ringing and horses ran wild in the streets from this sort of shockwave that was felt that far away. But debris from the ship that blew up in the air was found in a radius of about 4 miles around the city.
And a big chunk of Halifax was just destroyed and several thousand people died in the explosion.
And part of that is because with the wind force of the explosion, it knocked in houses that were heated by wood and coal-burning stoves, and those buildings burned for 12 days on the material that was in them.
Wow. Who were the first responders back in that day? I doubt they were referred to by that term, but who arrived first to help out?
Well, we are a Navy town, so the Navy in the harbor, there were ships of the American Navy and Canadian and the British Navy waiting to go in convoy overseas. So immediately they came to respond. The message on the telegraph brought trainloads of people from surrounding villages and towns in Nova Scotia, the maritime provinces. But a message sent out actually was received the same day by the governor of Massachusetts. And within 2 days, the Americans arrived.
Yeah, there are a lot of doctors and volunteers from Boston, where we are now. I know they helped out. And some of their letters and handwritten notes about what they found when they went to help out are exhibited at the Nova Scotia Archives. Can you read a bit of them for us?
Well, there was one man, Chet Brown, who was helping with relief, giving out money. He waited on one man in the office yesterday, paid him a money order for $100 and some. And when I asked for something for identification, he said he had nothing. He losing everything. He had a wife and 5 children and a new home, and his wife was in a condition to have another child in the near future. He had 3 boys killed in France since the war started, and the story he told would bring tears to the eyes of the most hardened.
Did he lose his immediate family in Halifax?
He lost everybody in the house. Oh. So he was alone and seeking help.
Your grandmother was alive then. What was her experience?
Both of my grandmothers were alive. One was a housewife in her 30s, and the other was a 16-year-old who just celebrated her birthday with her twin sister. And the 16-year-old was closest to the explosion and tried to help at a local hospital. But as she described it, people had parts falling off of them, and she could not take that and had to run away. My grandmother in her 30s lived with her mother-in-law and sister-in-law and 6 children in a house, and every window was blown out in the house. And she went out to look for milk, and in the snowstorm she got lost and was caked with snow before somebody found her, knew who she was, and led her back to her home.
It was such an incredible, sort of horrible thing that happened to Halifax. Are the memories of those days a source of pain or strength for Nova Scotians today?
Well, most of the survivors have passed away, though I do know of one man in England who's 106. And so the immediate injuries are gone from view. But people do talk about being brought up in houses where they had, as children, to be very quiet because people's nerves were bad, or they couldn't move the furniture because people were blinded and couldn't see around the house, so you couldn't move anything. So children growing up had a restricted lifestyle in Halifax, and as I grew up, I would have seen children of the explosion who were really injured and had great deformities in their faces from the flying glass and debris. And it sort of is our story, and it's a big story of Canada.
And interestingly, each year in Boston, we note the explosion. It's in a more festive way. We're going to play you something and see if you recognize what it is.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Light the tree.
Well, that's the cheers that are given when they light the Christmas tree on the Boston Commons. It comes from Nova Scotia.
And why does it come from Nova Scotia?
After the explosion, it was still World War I. Then you're into a depression, World War II. It's not until the 1970s and 80s that people start to recall the explosion and people remember what happened to them in the explosion. And Nova Scotia started in 1971 to send a Christmas tree to Boston because, and you use the term, they were our first responders. They were the outside organized medical relief. They set up actual hospitals in Halifax to help the 9,000 injured people. And as many survivors would have said, they survived in Halifax on the food and goods that were sent from the United States of America. And this is our thank you back to the principal city that started the efforts to give relief to Halifax.
This awful explosion happened close to Christmas. Did Nova Scotia do anything about that holiday?
Well, people actually probably lost many things they had prepared in their homes, laying on the tables that day, wrapping up for the soldiers over in the battlefields of France. And with the devastation, a little girl wrote a letter saying that one of the things she wanted was dollies to replace the ones killed in the explosion. So across North America, the newspapers said, let's have the children of Halifax have a Christmas. And so not only Nova Scotia, but it was really the United States of America who sent Christmas goods to bring cheer to these injured children who were seen photographed in front of trees with meager decorations, but holding on to little trinkets and dollies and things that were sent from the United States. They wanted them to have a happy Christmas.
Blair Bead is a local historian in Halifax and the author of the 1917 Halifax Explosion and American Response. Thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.